You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week on Home Base Podcast, I share with you 20 quick and simple ways to be more present with your kids and have a lot of fun doing it. Plus, a parenting hack that has left me with more free time and a mommy mantra that will melt your heart. Hey there, guys, my Home Base Podcast listeners. This is your lovely host, Megan Poteet. How's everyone doing? I'm all cuddled up here in my little recording corner / studio drinking some tea. It's really good tea. My mother so lovingly got it for me, and my aunt turned me on to this kind of tea. It's so good. It's called Numi. N-U-M-I. It's all organic. You can find it at your like Whole Foods store or health food store, but it's so good. It's like a really, really smooth tea. And the one I'm drinking is called chocolate. So it tastes like chocolate. It's delicious. And it has like health benefits to drinking this tea too. It's supposed to, let's see, what does the box say here? Help weight management, improve digestion and metabolism, and naturally boost energy. So there you go, my chocolate Numi tea. It's super delicious. It's my little treat to myself in the evenings, on the nights that I try not to eat actual chocolate. I shouldn't say actual chocolate. I'm sure there's chocolate in here. Yeah, see, first ingredient, organic cocoa powder. So that's why this tea is chocolate tea. Anyways, wow, little tangent there. That's my tea. You can, if you're really interested in it, you can see pictures. I've posted pictures of the Numi tea on Instagram before, so you can go over there and check it out. So today, what are we talking about today? Today we are talking about being present again. 2 weeks ago we had an episode where I shared with you 5 like main things to do to be present in your day. Today I'm sharing with you 20 ideas of activities or tips or things to do with your kids to be present in their day. So it can be something, well, I'm not going to give it all away, but it's just basically little quick activities you can do, things for you guys to do during the day, little routines or little snippets for you guys to kind of just have that little one-on-one moment together. Moments, that's what we're trying to accomplish here, are precious moments, precious memories we're making with our kids. So today I have 20 ways for you to make some precious memories with your kiddos. Sounds awesome, right? So you guys have been over to the new website, right? I'm sure you have, because it's beautiful and gorgeous and you want to go check out the awesome website and you want to get a little sneak peek of my kiddo who makes an adorable appearance on the website, right on the homepage, actually. So you want to go check it out. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's much, much easier to navigate and there's so much stuff over there, including probably my favorite part about the website is the Mommy Mantras page. You go to it and it's a gallery. It's got all of our mommy mantras on it. You can click on them, enlarge them, save them, share them, pin them, whatever you want. And they're all like, each week I try to find a quote and I will either create the artwork myself or I will go find some really pretty artwork that someone else made and I share it with you guys. But I do try to find artwork that I think is really awesome. And if I can't find one that I'm like super in love with, it's probably just because the quote is so big that it takes up most of the page. But anyways, that's probably my favorite part about the website. So if you haven't at least gone and looked at those, you're going to want to because it's awesome. And those of you that are still subscribed over to the old WordPress blog, you guys want to make sure you head over to the new location of the website, which is on Squarespace, technically. And you want to head over there and subscribe over there, because the new website's just prettier. And it's all found at the same place, homebasepodcast.com. The URL hasn't changed, just the behind-the-scenes location of the URL. So go check it out. So how did everybody's episode come up this week in iTunes? For those of you that are subscribed, were you still subscribed? Did it show up okay? Hopefully it did. If it didn't, hopefully you guys went over and found the podcast in iTunes and just resubscribed and you're listening to this episode. If you ever have any problems in the future, make sure you always just go right over, search us, Homebase Podcast, and subscribe. If you're not subscribed already, you need to do it, guys. Go do it. Do it, do it, do it. And it doesn't mean that it charges you anything. All it means is that every time there's a new episode, you get a notification on your phone. A little bubble will pop up and let you know that there's a new episode. That's all. Subscribe so you don't miss anything. It's awesome. And then while you're over there subscribing, leave me a review. Leave me some lovin'. You guys have been awesome lately and been giving me some great reviews. And those things, they make my day. They make me feel so good when I read them. So keep them coming. All right, we're going to take a quick little break and come back with 20 awesome ideas. So stay tuned. To get a sip of my tea. So we're sharing today 20 ideas of how to be present in your kids' day, just a little special moment that you guys can share together. And I want you to think, when you're listening to this list, I think a lot of people, when they think quality time with their kids, they think quantity over the quality time. It's not quantity time, it's quality time. See what I did there? I'm serious though. I think people, they get this misconception that the time they spend with their kids, maybe you're a working parent, and the time you spend with them during the week doesn't have to be as special, and you wait until the weekend and you can finally focus on your kids, and you wait until then to really give your kids the wholehearted attention that you want to give them. And I really would encourage you to realize that you can make your kids' day, you can have these special moments, and it doesn't have to take very long. It can be as short as just a few minutes. So I really, when you listen through this list, notice that some of these, most of these things I'm listing are really short, they're really easy, they're really simple. That's why I wrote them down and made this list for you, because I wanted them to be realistic things that anyone can put in their day. I mean, really, you have no excuse not to be doing these things. So there you go. You have no excuse. Find something on this list and implement it tomorrow. Start doing it. Start having that quality time, not the quantity time. So one of the first things I think that is super impactful, and you probably don't realize how impactful it is until you really start paying attention to it, is making eye contact with your kids. They're talking to you. Put a pause in what you're doing, turn and actually look them in the face. Not only are you giving them the respect that they deserve, but you're also teaching them that they deserve that respect from other people. You're also teaching them how to be respectful to other people. It's an important skill to be able to look people in the eye when you're talking to them. And some people, that's a big challenge for them, especially if they're nervous or uncomfortable. Think job interviews in the future. You don't want your kid to be that kid that's trying to land the big job interview one day and they're like looking off to the side and around the room, and you know, so really teach them about eye contact and make the effort for you to pause and really give your kids that respect and attention and make eye contact. You'll be so surprised, because when you take that time to make the eye contact, suddenly you start hearing them better. Suddenly you're paying attention to what they're saying more, and you're way more engaged in the conversation. I promise, conversations don't just happen through our mouths and our ears. So much of it is through our eyes. Engage your senses. So this is probably seems a little odd, but I love doing this when I was a teacher, and I still do it with my son now. But when I was a teacher and we would like learn about the five senses, we would do different activities that would engage our senses, and I always loved just how much it made everyone relax. And it made everyone really kind of take in that activity, because anytime you're focusing in on a sense, you're shutting some of your other senses down or even off completely. But most of the time, you're just kind of turning them down a little bit and you're focusing in on that one sense. So some activities you can do to engage your senses. One that I really like and is really simple is making baby smelling jars. And you can actually, when you go to the website, go to the archives, and it will take you to a post that I wrote, and I know I've talked about it in previous episodes too, about these jars that you can make out of old baby food jars. Get the glass ones. I actually didn't have old jars, so I actually went out and bought glass baby food jars, and then we, you know, ate the food and used the jar. But anyway, so you take this jar, you're going to clean it. You want to make sure you clean it really thoroughly so you don't get any lingering smell in there. And then you're going to puncture some holes in the lid and fill the jars up with things that smell. So, like, I've done some, and I've done just different spices. I've done some, the spices are fun. The herbs are really fun too. And that can be really challenging with like your older kids. If you go out and get like fresh cilantro and fresh parsley and rosemary and teach them about different herbs. And that's a great activity for your kids that like to cook or be in the kitchen. That one's a good one there. Another way to engage your senses with your kids is, and this is a fun one, a do-it-yourself face mask. So there's all sorts of recipes on Pinterest of different, you know, do-it-yourself face masks versus, you know, something as simple as egg whites brushed on your face, or yogurt brushed on your face, or a mashed banana. I mean, you can get really simple, make a little face mask, and pull your hair up in a pony, put a headband on around your hair or whatever, and give your kids a little brush and let them brush it on your face. And you're going to lay there and close your eyes and get like a little spa treatment. It's so fun. They have a good time painting mommy or daddy's face. And you guys are engaging your senses. You're engaging your senses. And before you know it, I mean, you're super relaxed and having a good time and laughing. Our last little senses activity is a fun one. You take a big bucket and put a bunch of different things in there. Try to think different textures, maybe make something slimy, something rough, something smooth. Put them all in there and don't show your kids what you're putting in there. And then you're going to cover the bucket up with maybe an old sheet or an old towel or something and cut a hole in it so that your kid has to reach their arm into the bucket and they have to feel. And that's why I say pick some things that are maybe slimy or weird textures, you know, banana peels, or, you know, get really creative. And so then they have to reach in there and feel, and they can't see anything. And that's another fun one. So engage your senses. Another thing you can do is sing a song or make up a silly song when you do things like washing your hands, brushing your teeth, putting on socks and shoes, cleaning up. I always think it's fun when, you know, everybody knows like the traditional cleanup song, the clean up, everybody, everywhere. I think it's always fun when families like have special songs that they do for different times during the day. It's something that brings everyone together. It's that special thing that you guys have together. It's just fun and special. And like I said, super easy. And it can be as simple as like we sing the ABCs when we brush my son's teeth. Obviously, he's too little to sing it, but we sing it just kind of to help him learn that, you know, we need to brush our teeth all the way through the song, you know. And so I know you're supposed to brush your teeth, I think, for like 2 minutes. And it doesn't take us 2 minutes to sing the ABCs, but we're working on it. We'll slowly stretch it out. I love this idea. Create a gratitude journal or board with kids and add to it each day. I think you guys know how much I loved our thankfulness turkey back in November that I talked about a lot. I love the idea of starting a gratitude journal or a board. I think boards, I'm a huge bulletin board junkie because I think they're super fun. I mean, you just poke something into it and ta-da, there it is. But I love them because they're out in the open and everyone can see them. It's just, I love making bulletin boards that have big reminders written on them. And so I think making a gratitude board would be super cool. But if you're not into having it like displayed on your wall, a notebook is another great way to go. And you guys can talk about different things to add to it each day. I think it's a great thing for young kids because as they're having fun with something or enjoying a toy, or maybe you guys read a book and they're like, oh, I love that book, mommy. You can say, oh, that's great, babe. Let's put it on the board, you know? And then you can sit down and draw a picture of the book or whatever it is and put it on the board. And it's something to get your kids thinking, get you thinking, and something for your whole family to be in together. I used to do this as a teacher, and I think as parents, it kind of is a no-brainer, but I think there's probably a lot of us out there that aren't even thinking about stuff like this. But write down positive things about your kids on a post-it note, or maybe you have a day planner that you look at several times a day, or even make a note on your phone or a reminder. Make a little, note and then put it on your lock screen, whatever. Write down some positive things about your kids and then say them to them throughout the day. So, I mean, maybe you love your child's smile. Maybe you love how they always clean up their toys before moving on to the next thing. Maybe you love how they're always looking out for their friends. Or you love how creative they are. Or how they sing such beautiful songs. Whatever it is, write it down and tell your kids, praise them. Let them know those wonderful attributes about themselves. It's going to give them such confidence. And anytime you lift someone else up, it just builds a connection between you and that person. And so this just, like I said, it's kind of a no-brainer. We need to praise our kids. But how often do we make mental effort to enter into the day with the intention of praising our kids? Most of the time, it's we praise them as we see them do something, which is a wonderful thing to practice as well. But I think it's also great to just enter into the day with a mindset of, I want to praise my kid today, not I hope I get the chance to praise my kid today. Let's enter into the day with the thought of, I want to praise my kid today. If a moment goes downhill, I think this is super, super cute. Say pause and then rewind. And when you're rewinding, you need to actually rewind. So let's say you're setting the table, your child is helping you, and they spill a glass of water. Let's say pause, and we rewind, and we pick everything back up, and we take it back in the kitchen, and then we do it all over again. You know, it's cute, it's funny, it's a way to kind of pause, ease the tension. And I think it's such a great reminder to remind ourselves that no matter how badly a day or a situation is going, there's always the chance to fix it. Always. We can always pause and just redo it. And I think having that openness with our kids and recognizing when something's not going right is a great skill to have. It's a great thing to show our kids, You know, there's nothing worse than like knowing you're sucking as a parent right now and not owning it. Because I mean, I think a lot of people look at that and they think it displays weakness to their kids. I don't think so. I think it is so refreshing to your kids to see that you're human. You make mistakes too. It's okay. Let's pause and rewind it and let's try again. Do a finger play with your kid, maybe one that you really liked as a kid. Some of you may be scratching your head going, what is a finger play? Are you talking about like finger puppets in a puppet theater? I'm talking about things like This Old Man, He Played One, He Played Knick-Knack on My Drum, or Itsy Bitsy Spider, or Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, This Little Light of Mine, all these things you use your hands, and they're called finger plays. One really simple one that I love, and tons of teachers keep this in their back pocket for emergencies. You can look it up on Google. Just type in Whoop Johnny finger play. And you basically, you just take your finger and you go up and down your fingers, and it's super cute, super simple, but it gets your kids' attention like bam, like snap right away. And for some reason, kids think it's super hilarious and they want to do it with you. And that one is good for like all ages until they start getting much, much older. But so teach your kid a finger play. Super fun, super cute. And it's really great for those like toddler kids. They really love it. Teach your kids something. This is always a good thing to teach your kids something, and I think it could be anything. I think it could be a household chore, absolutely. Teach your kids to vacuum, teach them to wash the dishes. I can't talk. Teach them how to go fishing, teach them how to fly a kite, teach them how to color. Teach them how to paint or fold paper. I love doing origami with kids, and not because I'm really good at origami. I just go online and I print off the instructions and we learn it together. But I think teaching kids something is so fun because the look kids get when they're learning something and they accomplish it is just priceless. It's probably the absolute best is watching your kids learn something. It's the best feeling, best look ever, and they get so excited when they accomplish it. And so teaching your kids something is always fun, and kids, even the ones that seem reluctant to learn, every kid wants to learn. You know, that's how they figure out the world. I love our pediatrician sat us down on one of our visits. I think it was maybe like once our son started sitting up at like 4 or 5 months or whatever, or it may have even been once he started crawling. But he told us, he's like, you know, babies, everything they do is an experiment. He's like, that's what's so fascinating about kids is everything they're doing is an experiment. He's like, even when they're doing something they're not supposed to, they're testing, they're seeing, how many times do I do this before mom and dad say no? How many blocks can I put on here before it topples over? You know, if I shut the drawer really fast, am I going to pinch my finger? What happens? And, you know, they're always conducting these experiments. And so I think it's just in kids' nature, in our human nature, to constantly want to learn and grow. And being a part of that is something super special. So teach your kids something. Go on a scavenger hunt or treasure hunt. I think it's really fun to take a child's, maybe it's their favorite toy or favorite stuffed animal, or you could even do a toy that maybe your child hasn't played with in a long time and wrap it up or hide it somewhere, even like put it outside somewhere, you know, take it to a park ahead of time and stash it away, or I don't know, get really creative and then go on a treasure hunt to find it, make a map. There's just so much potential there. I just love the idea of going for a treasure hunt or even a scavenger hunt. You know, go to the park. I know we're kind of not in park weather days right now for those people that are dealing with all this snow, But once we are in nice weather days, go outside, go for a scavenger hunt, go look for rocks, go look for leaves, go look for bugs. I just scavenger hunts are so much fun, and you can do them in your house too. I always love like whatever my students were studying at the time, or maybe it was butterflies or bugs that week or something. You can go to a lot of craft stores and get like bug cutouts of paper, or plastic bugs or something like that, and hide them throughout your house. Tape them to the walls if your kids are younger and they don't need things quite so hidden. You could even get like alphabet letters and tape them to the wall, or hide them underneath tables or behind TVs or, in drawers, in their clothing drawers. Maybe they'll tidy up their clothes, I don't know. But hide things and have them do a scavenger hunt. And I always loved setting it up while kids were like napping, or I mean, if you get up early in the morning, you could set it up when they're asleep, and then when they wake up, it's like, oh my gosh. It's like during St. Patrick's Day when the kids wake up and everything's a mess. You're like, the leprechaun came. I always love doing that when kids were like asleep and wake up and have some big surprise or something that happened. So go for a scavenger hunt or a treasure hunt, I spy, whatever you want to call it. Exercise together. Don't underestimate kids. Kids can get into exercising, and even if you're like a hardcore exerciser, you want to get on your treadmill, run 10 miles or whatever, or maybe even you're big into lifting weights or something. I mean, absolutely, please be cautious and careful, but I think there's always a way for you to get your kids involved. Even if you're lifting weights, find something that they can lift and show them how to do a squat, show them how to do a lunge, and if it's age appropriate. If they're really small, I know I've told you guys, I have one of those little miniature trampolines or rebounder that I run in place on in our living room sometimes, and I just put my son in my bouncer and I tell him we're gonna bounce together, and we do. We bounce together and he bounces in his little Exer-Saucer bouncer thing, whatever you call it, and we do it together. So, once the weather gets nicer, absolutely go outside, get your stroller, get your jogging strollers going, get creative. Your kids can exercise with you. There's all sorts of great things on the internet you can look at about doing yoga with toddlers, using their body weight in exercise movements. Get creative, teach your kids about fitness, and get them on it at an early age. Have a picnic. Something simple. If you're at home already and you're going to have lunch, why not pack a picnic and have it on the floor or in the playroom? And kind of goes with the picnic, or would be super cute together. Build a fort. We all remember those forts that we made as kids with like every single blanket we could get in the house, and chairs and pillows, and you had to go get the really heavy books to hold down the blankets so they wouldn't slip off the chairs. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? Absolutely, because we've all done it. Build a super awesome fort. Every child should build a fort, and go have your picnic inside your fort. I'll never forget when I was a kid, me and my brother loved making forts. And one time we made an enormous fort. It was an awesome, huge fort. There was room in there. We had the little racetrack set up, and we positioned the fort so that it was right next to the TV. And I don't know why I remember this, but I do. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was on, and we like opened the fort flaps up just enough so we could watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory while we played with the racetrack, and we had our snack in there, and it was awesome. And I remember it to this day, and that was probably easily 20 years ago. So, and I'm showing my age now, how young I am. Anyways, build a fort, have a picnic. Forts are awesome. Even take a nap in your fort. I'm all about it. Forts are great. Go discover your community. We all if your kids are in school or preschool or kindergarten, we've all probably heard about community helpers and realize that that's something that kids kind of go through at a young age. In school curriculum, we learn about community helpers, your firemen, your policemen, your mailmen, your librarians, and so on and so forth. Go actually take your kids to those places in your community. Teach them about those community helpers. Take them to the library. Have the librarian show you how the books are cataloged. Most libraries, you can actually volunteer your time to shelve books. So if you have older kiddos that can handle stuff like that, absolutely take them and go help. Go. Go take your kids to the park and teach them about different things at the park and how it has to be maintained and how there's people that come and take care of keeping the animals safe. Take them to a local fire station, the police station. Take them to the post office. Mail something. Sometimes you can even schedule tours to see inside the post office and how all that works. I love the idea of just mailing something though, because I think it's so cool to teach our kids about the mailing system and how we put something in the mail and a carrier takes it and then it goes and gets sorted and put on a truck and shipped to a different location and then grandma gets it, a couple days later. So I just think that's a really cool way to get your kids involved in the community and kind of teach them about how they're a little part of a big, big world. Bond over something you loved as a kid. This is probably my favorite on the list. This could be a sport that you played, it could be a game that you played, or a toy you were really into, a cartoon show you really watched. What was something you were really into? So I'm going to tell you guys some of my super nerdiness. So, I was of the age of Pokemon when it first came out. That was while I was a youngster. And I was not so much into the playing the card games. I just didn't quite understand that. And my brother was old enough that it wasn't cool. So, he didn't really wasn't there to help me figure it out. And we were homeschooled, so we only had so many friends. Sad to say. Anyway, so I collected the cards. I was very big into collecting Pokemon cards. And my husband was very big into collecting them and playing the Game Boy games and playing the card games. And of course, we grew up and got rid of our collections and all of that. But when we were dating, we kind of like jokingly one day was like, "Oh, remember Pokemon? Like, let's get some cards and start playing." And so now we kind of like got back into it, and it's our kind of like fun little cutesy, goofy, super nerdy hobby that we sometimes do. We haven't been doing it as much as since we had a baby, because you realize you don't have time to yourself anymore. But we're both super excited when Hunter does get bigger and we can share that with him because we both just really like it so much. And when I was teaching full time, I had a couple students that were boys that were really into Pokemon, and so I started dazzling them with all my knowledge of Pokemon. They just thought I was the coolest teacher ever, and I loved those students. It was so fun to bond over something like that. So find that thing that you really liked as a kid. Maybe it was, do you guys remember Darkwing Duck? The cartoon Darkwing Duck. My brother loved Darkwing Duck. Or maybe you were really into Pet Shop as a kid. Maybe you're a girl that had all the pet shops or Polly Pockets. Remember Polly Pockets? Maybe you were really into that. Maybe you were really into watching Doug Funny on the Cartoon Channel. People remember Doug out there? Oh, yeah. This is awesome. But yeah, so find something you were really into as a kid and share it with your kids. I think your kids are gonna love something just because you loved it to begin with, and so it's just something easy and it's fun and you're guaranteed to be in it, interested in it from the beginning. So cook something with your kids. I love cooking. You guys all know that. Food and nutrition is very near and dear to my heart. And cooking something with your kids is just a great way to get them involved. And it's something fun to do. And there's so many benefits to it. You're teaching them about nutrition, what they're putting in their body. And it's a great thing to do with picky eaters because chances are, if a child helps make something, they're more apt to try it. And yeah, so cook something with your kids. If you guys didn't listen to last week's episode, make sure you go listen to it. It was with Wendy Copley, and we talked about her book, Everyday Bento, where she talked to us about making bento lunch boxes and how they're super awesome and great for your kids and really encourages them to eat so many different things, and it makes lunchtime really fun. So go listen to that episode. And also, Wendy's book, Everyday Bento, is a great book to cook with your kids. It's got super easy to follow instructions and fun pictures, and it really does make lunch fun. So if you're looking for something to cook with your kids and you need a book suggestion, go check out Everyday Bento. And you can find the link for Everyday Bento on last week's show notes. So go check that out. Get crafty. You can get crafty at home with just about anything. Even like food coloring and yogurt can work as a really quick paint if you're out of paint. But I think it's really fun to go visit a craft store, and maybe your kids will find something that they didn't know existed, or they'll get into some kind of form of art. Maybe your child really isn't into crayons or colored pencils. Maybe they would be more into rubber stamps. So go check out your craft store, get some awesome craft supplies, and then go home and make something awesome. And then I think it's fun too to go into the craft store with the mindset that you're making a care package for grandma, or you want to send a really beautiful picture to Nana or grandpa or, Uncle Nolan. And so I think it's fun to kind of have that mindset because then you can really center it around that person. And I think it just is really fun. So go get crafty, send some care packages, send some beautiful letters. The art of mail is dying, I swear. We need to reinvigorate it. Go do a science experiment. I have an episode that's called STEM. Go check that out, and there's all sorts of ideas for STEM and other sciencey stuff. I really suggest doing a science experiment that's like a couple days, like it's one that has to maybe sit or there's my favorite probably science experiment to do with kids is you take a bunch of hard-boiled eggs. And white ones work best, white eggs. You can use brown eggs. I've done it with both. And you get different cups of different liquid. Do like a juice, water, milk, coffee, a soda. Do a sports drink, something like Gatorade or, vitamin water, something like that. And you submerge the hard-boiled eggs into all the different cups of liquid and let them sit there for a couple days. And it's amazing. So essentially, the egg shell recreates the enamel on our teeth. And you're going to watch the different liquids, what they do to the egg shell. And you're going to realize what those liquids do to our teeth. And it's super scary. And some of the ones that you think would be really bad actually aren't as bad as others. So it's a really fun science experiment to do. But it is really fun because it's a couple days, that you have to like check on the eggs. And so it's something, even if you only have 10 minutes a day, you guys can bond over that quick 10 minutes you go and check on the eggs and make your observations. So go do something sciencey. Build something together. And I'm not talking about just like getting the Legos out and building whatever. I think if you really put a lot of thought into it, what is your kid into? It's football season. We're getting ready to go into the Super Bowl. Are your kids really into football? Build a stadium. Look at different pictures of stadiums. Talk about, do you want it to be an open air stadium? Do you want it to be closed? Look at the goalposts, look at the seating, talk about the different elements, and then talk about, okay, let's build this. What do we want to build it out? Do we want to build it out of Legos? Do we want to build it out of toothpicks and marshmallows, Mega Blocks? Get creative. What do you want to build it out of? And I love building things out of like food and edible stuff because I think it just adds an element of fun, and then you can eat it. So that's always fun. But build something together and really talk about like the construction behind it, and then it can be like an ongoing thing. You know, if you build something big, you can kind of add on to it each day, and it's something fun to do. Read together. Super simple, kind of a no-brainer. But like I said, if you only have 10 minutes, maybe you work late and you come home and you only have a few minutes with your kids, spend a few minutes sitting down reading their favorite book, you know? And even like I encourage parents, even if your child is in school and they have maybe like required reading or something, read that with them. Maybe take turns reading a page. That way they're still reading it too. I'm not trying to say you should do your kids' homework for them, but I think it's making you a part of school, making them a part of their day. And I don't think taking turns reading a page or taking turns reading a paragraph would be harmful by any means. So read a book, and read something they're interested in. Last but not least, volunteer somewhere together. You have some time to spend with your kids. This one's a little bit more lengthier for those like whole days that you're gonna maybe spend together, but go volunteer with your kids. Or even if you don't have the time to go and dedicate your time somewhere to volunteer, talk about different organizations with your kids. Get them involved with where they would like to volunteer or where they would like to contribute maybe some of their money or some of their toys or clothes or food. Get them involved in that process. And then maybe you take an extra 10 minutes in the grocery store to buy up a bag of food and then take it to the food pantry. You know, spend 10 minutes in the grocery store having your kids help you pick out food for a food bank. Spend 10 minutes going through your kids' wardrobe and your wardrobe and picking out some clothes that could be donated. You know, get involved and really get creative. It doesn't have to be something where you're necessarily donating something. You could get, I mean, there's so many inspirational kids out there that have done amazing things for raising money. Really, sit down with your kids and spend a few minutes every day coming up with ideas, and we could all move mountains if we just take that extra time to do it together. So, my last little tidbit on these 20 ideas. So I just gave you 20 awesome ideas of things you can do throughout the day to be present with your kids, some fun activities that you can do together to really be present and be there. Something to kind of keep in mind when you're going through this list, and I am going to put a list up on the website. I will put a post with all 20 of these on here, and I'll post it and I'll tweet it and I'll pin it so you guys can all go check it out and save the list and whatever. But when you're going through this list, I encourage you, because like I said, a lot of these things can only take a few minutes if you want them to. Find things that you can connect together and kind of make a day around it if you have extra time. So like an example would be, you know, maybe take your kids out in the community, go take them to check out the library, and then get home and be like, all right, we're going to replicate the library. Let's build it. So we went to the library, now we're going home and we're building it. See, so I put like building and going there, combine them together. Get it? You got that, guys? We already talked about like crafting something and then mailing it. So you could like craft something and mail it. So go to the post office and have that visit. And we talked about, you know, building a fort and then cooking something and having a picnic in the fort. So find ways to connect these things. One of the things as teachers that we do is we put activities together to help get our curriculum. I don't know, like just to help get the curriculum together and out there. And you can't just sit down and teach kids out of books at a young age. You have to kind of bring everything together and embody the curriculum. That's what I'm looking for. Embody. Bring it to life and give it color. And one of the ways to do that is to find activities that all kind of center around each other or have some kind of connecting thread. And you just kind of form that. And maybe you don't have time to do that all in one day, but I guarantee you have time to do it in a week. You could be like, oh, this week we're going to talk food and nutrition, and today we're going to build a fort, and tomorrow we're going to like cook something and we'll eat it in our fort tomorrow. You guys can really do this. I believe in you. But so those are a couple examples, but really get creative when you go through this list of looking at ways you can connect these things together. And just because you're not a teacher doesn't mean you can make an at-home fun time curriculum for your kids. Totally doable. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with our parenting hack this week and our mommy mantra, so stay tuned. Hey guys, it's Megan. I want to tell you about our Patreon page. Patreon is a website where you can go and donate to support special projects like the podcast you're listening to right now. And when you go and support Homebase, you will be helping me do things to grow the podcast, like buy new equipment, open a swag shop on our website, or even bring the show to a city near you. Not only that, but depending on how much you support, you may even be hooked up with some super special exclusive swag of your very own. So head over to patreon.com/homebasepodcast to check it out and show Homebase some lovin'. Hey guys, we're back. Whew. I got like a nice break last week when I talked to Wendy because I didn't have to do all the talking. And so this week I'm like back to being Little Miss Jabberjaws and I'm like, whew, feeling a little winded. So our parenting hack this week, I've been wanting to do this and I finally broke down and did it this week and now I've been reaping the benefits of it. So my son's birthday is like 12 days before Christmas, 13 days actually. So almost 2 weeks before Christmas. So we had his first birthday and then we had Christmas. So needless to say, this kid got so many toys. Not that he didn't already have tons of toys, but so now he has loads of toys. And then on top of that, I was at my brother's house and he was like getting rid of a bunch of toys and he's like, "Do you want this?" And he's like, "If you don't want it, I'm just gonna donate it." And I was like, okay." And so I took it, and so now we have so much stuff. And I've been like, I've got to organize this or something, because you could just tell when he would be out here playing in the play area, like you could just tell he was overwhelmed because there was just so much stuff to choose from. He would only play with everything for like, 2 to 5 minutes, very short amounts of times, because he would just be constantly going from thing to thing to thing because he just couldn't focus. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't be able to focus either. So finally this week, I was like, okay, you know what? We're going to downsize and we're going to clean everything up. And so I put a couple toys away that I was like, "You're not quite ready for these. Let's put these away." And then like we got a big tub of Mega Blocks. I'm like, "Okay, you're 1 year old. You're not building huge, big, complex structures. You don't need all these blocks." So I just got like a smaller tub and I put just maybe like a dozen blocks in there and I put the rest of them away. And like we minimized some of the books that were out here. And so I just like minimized some of the toys, some of the things he's got. Like he has a big radio flyer wagon in his room and we kind of like use that as the toy box. So I took a ton of things out from like the play area in the front room where we are most like pretty much all day. I took a bunch of that out and like put it in the toy box in his room. And so now there's like a lot less out here. And the results have been amazing. He like actually plays now and actually like stays with something for, 10, 15, 20 minutes, which is a long time for a 1-year-old to do something. And it's just been really nice. It gives me some sanity. He's like leaves me alone for a little bit during the day so I can actually like, fold laundry or cook lunch or do something like that. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I rearranged some things in the play area. So like he has like this little playhouse, and so I like switched it with where his bouncer was, and just switching things and minimizing some of the clutter has been amazing. It really is just completely different child. And when I sit back and think about it, I'm so the same way. When there's less clutter, or when something is different, and I'm like crazy about stuff like this. It could be something as simple as, like, I told you guys that I love bulletin boards, right? So I have a bulletin board in my kitchen, and like during Christmas, we'll put all the Christmas cards up there. So it'll like slowly get really cluttered and covered with all these Christmas cards, and it's cute and beautiful and awesome in its own little cluttered way. But I totally love it. After Christmas is over, I take all the Christmas cards off, and then there's like nothing on there but maybe like two things, and it's really clean, and it makes me feel so good. Every time I walk in and out of the kitchen, I look at it, and it makes me feel so good. And I've just noticed, and I don't know if this is everyone, but for me, just a little bit of change like that makes me feel good. And so I totally think my son is the same way. And I'm not sure if all kids function this way, but you might want to try it. Just changing things up may just be that little thing that they need to help give them some more busy time. I don't know. Get them more into playing and give you some peace of mind. So that's my parenting hack this week. Go minimize some of your kids' toys. And I know it's hard. I mean, some of you parents out there that have multiple kids, you're like, no, it's not. It's not hard. I can put things away. I can throw things away. For me, this is my first kid, and he's only 1 year old. So every little toy he has is so precious to me because it's like, oh, this was his first bear. This is his first block set. This is his first ball. Like, I can't get rid of anything. I tried so hard. I was going through like teethers and like little like infant toys, and I couldn't get rid of any of them. I really couldn't. I was like, oh, I was like, I'm not ready to get rid of this stuff. And then it's like, oh, if we have another one, do I want to get rid of this? And so it was hard for me. It really was. But I'm totally into this whole like rotating toys thing. So I put some in the toy box. I'm probably gonna give the stuff out here like another week, and then we'll take some of the things out of the toy box and bring them back out and put some of the other stuff in the toy box. So parenting hack, rearrange and rotate your toys. Try it out. You won't be sorry. Our mommy mantra this week is from Maya Angelou. And maybe you've heard this. I hadn't heard it before. And when I saw it, I literally just gasped and paused. And I was like, oh, I love this. So here it goes. Be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. It's so cute, right? Oh, I love it. And I love the picture and the art I found for it. So you guys will have to go over to the website and check it out, or follow me on Instagram or on Twitter. I always post the mommy mantra pictures on there too. But I love it to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. I think that really sums up what I want us to accomplish in this whole two-part Be Present series. Your kids can have really bad storm cloudy days, and I think it's on us to turn those frowns upside down. It's on us to be the little rainbow in their cloud and to bring them joy and show them that every day is a gift and we shouldn't ever waste a day and we should always have some joy in our hearts. So there we go, the words of Maya Angelou, be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. All right, you guys, that's our episode this week. Make sure you tune in next week. Is going to be all about pampering the mamas in the crowd. Dads, feel free to listen too for some great ideas of how to pamper your lady. But this one is for the mamas in the crowd. I'm going to share with you all my favorite beauty products, some beauty tips and tricks and hacks and recipes. This is going to be a fun issue. And like I mentioned last week, I am a licensed cosmetologist and have been cutting hair for, 8 years now. So I know, I'm like Jane of all trades. That's what one of my friends calls me. I dabble in a little bit of everything. But anyways, I've got my favorite hair color line for you. I've got hair tips and tricks, tons of beauty tips. So make sure you tune in next week. It's going to be a pampering awesome issue. All right, guys. Love you all. Bye-bye.